Good morning. You're listening to WTL New Orleans on 91.5 FM. This is your news and views program. I'm Kezia here with you this morning and looking forward to it. We're going to be bringing you some coverage of the storm situation that has been unfolding in Louisiana over the past few days, including a lot of citizen reporting. We're going to hear from people who have posted blogs and vlogs and audio about their individual situation in the floodwaters, what it's been like for them. And then we'll also hear some information about how you can help the people who are still struggling. This is very much an ongoing situation. And, thousands of our fellow citizens are now without a home. So it's definitely a difficult time in Louisiana, and we're feeling all of that here in New Orleans, and knowing how vulnerable we are, it makes it all the more important to do what we can to help out. So, a report by Cheryl Foytlin. She's a well-known activist who has been working for the Gulf, but this is a report she's giving from her home in Rain, Louisiana, where she got 3 inches of water inside of her house.
Hey there, Cherie Foytlin, coming to you from my home in Rain, Louisiana. I wanted to check in because I've had so many great people reach out and ask me how I'm doing and what's going on. You may have seen just a few days ago I was in Denham Springs in some pretty significant flood water, trying to get home to my kids who were here in Rain, and our house was flooding. You know, it was flooded. It ended up at about 2.5 inches. A little more, 2 3/4 in some spots. But what happened first was the sink, the toilet, and the bathtub overflowed in every bathroom. And so we had all that, like, rushing out. And so we had a lot of just sewage in the house. And then also cracks within the foundation, probably because of just shifting of the land. We have a lot of land loss here, a lot of shifting here where we have a lot of water and a lot of waterways. So a lot of our waterways are still rising. Vermilion River, the Vermilion River is that way. The Murmitaw River, which is that way, still rising. So we're still going to see some houses flooding, like areas where yesterday we stood on land. Today, if you go there, it's under a significant amount of water. Many of my relatives and friends have sustained significant damage all over this state. So here's the first room of our house that was damaged, my daughter's room, in the front part of the house. So we had to end up pulling those carpets out. You have to pull the carpets out. I tried. I went and got a steam cleaner foolishly and just went, and there's just no way to get it out. And that's when I realized I had to pull all the carpet. So this is our little family room. As you can see, the house is just in a disarray. But we're still eating. there's Karen. Say hi, Karen.
Hey.
I think you're on there.
Am I?
Yeah, are you?
Hello.
Hey. Karen is my ride or die chick, for real, sometimes. Yeah, everything's crazy. That's the weird part. Everything's just in disarray. We had to pull this out. As you can see, like, any furniture that we had that was particle board or anything like that basically just melted from the bottom up. So this is my bedroom right here. I actually had thought that it was just a little bit of damage in here, like maybe this, like, 5 foot area and then maybe 3 feet over. But once we pulled the padding, it was all up underneath there, and I lost some stuff. So here is the bathroom. I think you can still see, this is the one place I think you can still see the lines of where the water came up. I don't know if you can see that. I have to use the shovel to scrape the dirt out and other things. Let's see what else. So this room right here, I haven't even touched. This is how we deal with this room. This is clean up for it right now. Yep. There we go. This room down at the end of the hall is my daughter's room. I haven't looked at it either. This bathroom had a considerable amount of water in it as well. And you can see where I'm going to have to redo all the tiles. This is the room right here, and I wanted to show you, and I'm sorry, but I have to wear a mask. It's not safe. I don't let the children come back here, and anybody who goes in here has to wear a mask. It's just unsanitary. This is my boys' room. We're trying to move stuff out. As you can see, I think you can see that. There's just a considerable amount of damage, but this was from that bathroom right there. This was just, you know, just, it's just ruined. There's still water in here, and it's just not safe. So I'm going to get out of here because I come in here in short spurts. This has been devastating. This has been devastating to a lot of people. And I just want to thank some people. Like, I want to thank the what they call the Cajun Army. And also just people. It made me so mad. I read a comment today. I always say don't read the comments, but I did. I saw a comment earlier today, and it said something about, you know, that somebody brought a gun because all the loot and you know, alligators and snakes. But might be alligator snakes, but you know what? They live here too. And they're displaced as well. And then also, there ain't been no looting around here. You know what has been here? It's like this fiery, courageous, amazing, helping each other. Like, that's been the thing that I've noticed more than anything. It's been beautiful. I have my realtor who sold me the house come over. She's gone to get supplies for her. My friend Ramsey is coming in tomorrow. My friend Karen has been here this whole time and helping me out every step of the way. My kids have been pitching in. My friend Danielle's been letting me borrow stuff. I mean, that's the way we've been working together. And when I was out there in Denham Springs, I saw more just regular people going out in boats and picking people up from places that were going underwater very fast and bringing them to the highest ground they could find and then going back for more, you know? I even saw an armadillo swimming in the water and a man wade out there with his t-shirt in his hand to catch this wild armadillo and push him closer to the side. I didn't work out very well. Don't try to catch wildlife, especially armadillos, in the water. But I'm just saying, that's the kind of heart and the spirit that we have, you know, and ain't nobody changing that. One thing I'm real sad about is I can't be in a couple places. I'd love to be up there in South Dakota fighting the Dakota Access Pipeline. If you don't know about it, you should learn about it. Honestly, I don't know what in the heck's going on in Milwaukee. I just see a headline every once in a while, and then it's back to pulling carpet. And then down here on the 20th, this weekend on Saturday, come hell or high water, I'm going to be there marching in the streets in an intersectional movement where we're bringing good people together, good conscience, to try to build a new day and a new just transition for all of us, you know. It's time to start some of this foolishness and start living in the right way, you know, on this earth. That's the truth. And with each other, you know, to stop violence in all of our communities. Because this right here, what happened with this rain, you know, that was an act of violence too. You know, there's so many people that are devastated. I can't tell you how many or how much, but I know it's widespread. And there's a lot of work that's going to need to be done. And with the river still rising, we don't know how many people still are going to be affected. We got thousands and thousands in shelters right now. Thank goodness for FEMA finally approving this area, because my insurance ain't here. And 75% of the people who are flooded do not have insurance. They don't. And the areas are going to flood the first and the worst is going to be people marginalized, communities, people of color, people of low income and low wealth, you know, so they're going to need that. Why don't I have flood insurance? Because I can't afford flood insurance, that's why, you know. So all these systems and all these acts against us, we have to relate all that. We have to bring all that together and have that understanding, and that's what we're trying to do next weekend on the 20th in New Orleans. So New Orleans is fine, thankfully. You know, Baton Rouge, Denham Springs, that area is really devastated, and every area in between from here on up. So if you can help, please help, you know, in whatever way that you're able, even if it's just to share this probably extremely long video. But know that I, Sharif Voigtland, am thankful for you, for the people that have reached out to me and tried to and support me in this time. This has been one heck of a summer for me. And but, you know, That doesn't kill you, makes you stronger, you know. So I was pretty strong to begin with, to tell you the truth. So I'm gonna be tight. I'm gonna be like a blade, man. But I just love you guys so much. And take care of yourself. I hope to see you on the 20th. And please take that whole week as a week of action. So there's lots of things you can do online and from anywhere to help out and support us as we continue this call for justice, climate justice, environmental justice, and justice of all types for all people everywhere. Take care.
I'm going to show you another video. This person evacuated and was watching his home be covered in water. So we're going to hear his story.
And it is currently now is about 6 or 7 feet at least. So everything in my house is gone. And I just can't wait for the water to drain out. That way we can go home and just, you know, clean up the house and everything. And the worst thing is that we don't have flood insurance. Because where we stay, we don't have to, we are not required to buy flood insurance because it is not in a flood zone area. So I don't know how we're going to get this through this. Everything is like it's going to be on us now because the insurance company is not going to cover for this. Obviously, because we don't have flood insurance and we are not in the flood zone area. So that whole side of the city, most of the people, 90% of the people don't have flood insurance. And, you know, 90% of the people's house are flooded heavily. So we don't know. We are like devastated right now. And we never thought this was going to be this bad. From what I can tell, that my house is all sheetrock, all the molding from 3 feet down. It's totally gone to waste. Everything is going to need to be replaced because all the moisture after the water come out, everything is gonna, you know, messed up. And I just don't know how we're gonna get through this with because we don't have flood insurance. So, and our car, you know, not to mention our car flood insurance because we're not in the flood zone area. I will make a GoFundMe account. And I will list that link on the description box below. And I will appreciate any help that you guys can help us to go through this hard time. But you know, there's not much that we can do. We just hope that the water drain out. That way we can go home and just take care of everything else that's left over. And I will make another video to update you guys on this. And you know, during this time, I really appreciate you guys comment and leaving us a feedback and, you know, just comfort us and pray for us. This is the time where we, you know, need to stick together and just pray and just get through this bad time, especially when we have a lot of kids and it's a really tough time. So I really thank you guys from the bottom of my heart and I will keep you guys updated. As you can see, I'm really tired right now because I haven't slept for 3 days. Since the day it started, because I've been evacuating from my mom's house, my dad's house, and I just can't sleep. Even though we have a bed to lay on, you know, we just worry about our house and everything else. So I will update you guys on my next video, and I hope to see you guys soon. And hopefully everything will be okay. Then, you know, just stick together and pray for us down here.
And this is reporting by a man named Moho Vlogs. You can find it on YouTube, the rest of his video and his experience going through the flood. Now we're going to be playing for you and a report by Dennis Parrott. He is a man who has been going through the flooding as well.
Man, so I'm going to put a face on for y'all that know me and what these people in this area are going through. And we only been back in our house for, as y'all know, for like 4 weeks. I mean 8 weeks, I'm sorry. And it's absolutely devastation. This is, I'll show y'all my front door. This is my outside. It's my street. Coming to the house. Last time I only got 4 inches. I'm pretty sure it went higher than that this time. I mean, I haven't even painted that door. There's no doorknobs on it yet. And it's already gone. This is our living room. Brand new entertainment little stand, it's gone. Remember that beautiful kitchen I sent y'all that we were so proud of and we debated over the island? That's all gonna be gone. It's over with. No debate, it's out. This is outside my backyard. It's Lake Perrette. You can see it goes down. It's my next door neighbor. One of the cars, Andrew and Jen, I love y'all. They helped us get out of here when we were leaving. This is the living room, going into the, that's Maddie's room. She was so excited, she just got an emo bed spread and got her own big bed and that's all wet. It's gone. Dresser gone. I mean, peeps, I'm talking devastation, son. It's gonna be hard for me to stay upbeat, but I'm gonna try. This is all Walker. This is KK's room. That's the one who wrote on the board last time she was scared because the water was coming in her house. Well, she's not coming back to nothing. The kid's clothes. I thought I could just take it out the bottom drawer. I'm so stupid. They lost everything. Found a new bed. It's actually a gorgeous room. It came out gorgeous. Love the color scheme she went with, but that's all for naught. It's gone. You can see the water flowing outside the house out of the window. It's gone, man. Once again, we're gonna be battling. We're gonna battle this one. It's gonna be hard. This is our bastard bedroom. That's me and Christine. We finally bought us a brand new bedroom set. And that's gone. That's gone. If I get this into focus, that's the backyard. Y'all already seen. Gone. Just, you can see the water level. It's high. I needed y'all prayers last time. I'm gonna need your prayers this time. But I got this. I know I can do it. I did it once. I sure can do it again. And I will do it again. For my family. And for all the families out there, man, I know what y'all going through. Keep your head up. Keep God in your heart. And understand you will get through. Try not to take it out on each other. Try not to take it out on the kids. It's not their fault. It's not nobody's fault, man. Mother Nature just does this sometimes, you know? And just stay positive, right? Just stay strong. If I can do it, you can do it. If we all pull together, we all can come back faster. Then we come back fast from this, man. I love y'all. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
That was a video made by Mr. Dennis Parrott off of Facebook. It became viral in his experience of his family's flooded home. So I don't know how many of you guys have been on Facebook, but a lot of organizing has been going on since the flooding happened through a Facebook group that has over 20,000 members called Louisiana Flood Rescue August 2016. It's also in association with the Cajun Navy Facebook group. And these people have been the citizens on the ground helping people get out of their homes. And this is a video that one of the admins of that group created. His name is Ace Cox. I think he's actually local to New Orleans. But he was one of the admins, and him and his partner, of this group that has assisted the rescue of so many people as, you know, the floodwaters were rising, cell phone towers stopped working, and it became really difficult for people to know whether or not their loved ones were okay, and to also coordinate rescue of those people. You know, over 20,000 people have been rescued from their homes, some say even 30,000, 40,000. It's hard to know the exact numbers. But this is a video that he made kind of describing what his experience has been trying to coordinate these rescue efforts. I thought it was pretty interesting as well. Again, the Facebook group that he's been the admin of is called Louisiana Flood Rescue August 2016. It's definitely a great place to go if there are still loved ones out there that you're wondering about or you're not sure. There's a lot of information on that group. So here is his experience.
I just want to bring to light as far as kind of what the situation is here in the Baton Rouge and surrounding communities. Our organizational volunteer team has worked effortlessly and made huge strides in connecting, you know, volunteers, connecting resources, so much to the fact that we're working with an amazing team that is being spearheaded by a guy named Travis. They're out of San Francisco. what they're doing is they're the ones that have originally, you know, created and executed that need of a live map that is in real time. It's showing where the needs are, where the rescue situations are needing to happen. We understand that system is not perfect. You know, we understand that there are some pinpoints on there that need to be addressed and updated to show that persons are safe, clear, things like that. The point of this whole resource is really to help, you know, government agencies who unfortunately aren't able to maneuver as quick as some of the resources that we have to get those first responders to those areas that are in need, get those responders and, you know, local officials as far as in those local communities to the places they're needing. Because at the moment, a lot of these places still have no internet. They still have very limited, if any, power. They have very little cell phone communication. So your EMS responders and everybody that are in the field right now, they're having difficulty communicating. What we were trying to do is create a central location area to showcase what the needs are and where the help is. The challenge that we've run into recently is that, you know, our system is not perfect, but we want to connect and we want to work with local government. I've spent a number of hours at Celtic Studios trying to connect with decision makers, and unfortunately I've not been able to make that happen. This is my last ditch effort to basically try and connect with officials, people that can help, you know, guide us as volunteers so that it's not a complete, you know, whoever wants to do whatever type show. We want to direct our volunteers to the resources that are official law enforcement, official government, so that way they can actually deploy those volunteers that we have resources to. The last time I checked, the current Louisiana Flood and Rescue page is up to 30,000 people. There's just minutes after minutes of people that are just pouring in tons of resources and opportunities that are mobilizing from other states and other parts of the U.S. The challenge is these people are coming in, and us as a volunteer group, we have no clear direction from any government agencies. The other challenge is at the moment that, you know, the map is currently set up for rescue and support, but the infrastructure that we've built just off of volunteer, we have no funding, we have no support. It is simply myself, my girlfriend Margot Clark. Many of you see her. She's formerly in New Orleans right now, my home, activating and, you know, coordinating people. You know, she's making things happen behind the scenes with our team. There's so many people that are working on this project right now behind the scenes from a volunteer standpoint that there's so many, I can't even name how many amazing people are involved. I have no formal training as far as in any of this. What I have training in, because of my time with the Red Bull brand, is logistics and understanding music festivals, understanding how to move large crowds of people through small areas. With Red Cross, we originally were using a public forum and sharing personal information as people were posting it to try and connect them with families. You know, we didn't have the understanding to know about privacy and things like that. You know, there's a lot of those policies that are there to help protect people in their time of need, but we need that guidance from government to tell us what we can do. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, I've not made connections with the right people. We have made connections with the Red Cross. The Red Cross has actually been able to help inform us as to help how to protect that individual's information, such as, you know, information's coming in, it's assigned an ID number, and then assigned to a case. Again, these are all volunteers that are sitting at computers hours and hours and hours a day over the last 3 days. Our page went live basically on Friday, or Saturday morning. And since then, you know, it's continued to grow. It's going to continue to grow. Our initial efforts were to, you know, help rescuers. The infrastructure that we've built with this live map has now given us an opportunity to be able to shift that weight from, you know, rescue and recovery to needs assessment as far as for shelters. These community shelters are coming up daily. Every church and organizations are trying to help their communities. But again, there's no clear direction. I know there's been a number of people that have been super, super frustrated with the amount of volunteer boats that we have been deploying through our systems over the last few days, and that are being turned away by government agencies. You know, because there's been no communication to us, we did not understand that by us deploying those individuals, they were, you know, possibly hindering rescue efforts of, you know, situations that as an average Joe is not mentally equipped to handle, not medically equipped to handle, or sanitarily equipped to handle. So I mean, there are situations where you're coming across deceased as far as animals and things like that. They're in the floodwaters, and a lot of things that are pretty gnarly that as far as for a mental state of an average Joe, they're not equipped to handle. But the volunteers, they want to help. They want to get connected. We understand now we've pulled back all of our boat efforts for the most part, unless a government agency reaches out or a local law enforcement agency reaches out so we can connect them. But now we're to a point where we have so much infrastructure and an amount of stuff coming into the market that we need direction, as to help, the Red Cross, help the FEMA, help all these guys that are already should be on the ground, but due to limited resources, they aren't able to get here. When you talk about wildlife and fishery support and things like that, or even just medical support, there's probably 5 to 10 persons as far as volunteers that can be assigned to one individual that's an authoritarian person. And those are the resources that we have access to. I have just come from Walker. Fortunately, the St. George Fire Department, Rescue Department have been willing to work with us. We've been able to connect them with this map. They're now able to deploy their search and rescue people to go into these neighborhoods that show hotspots, go door to door, find the elderly. We know that people are trying to go back into their communities. At this point in time, the infrastructure is not there for you to return to your community. My family and most of Margo's family, we've all lost, family homes that are in Central. We evacuated from there and we moved to Monticello, my grandparents' home. Monticello, obviously, it went underwater, but due to the fact that my personal resources and my network, I was able to connect with the team at Gator Tails. Gator Tails was able to deploy 20 volunteers more than that, as far as with 20 boats to Monticello, and get the people that were in Monticello that were trapped because the waterways were coming up out of those situations. So the thing is that a lot of people are not aware that the frustration with the government. Of course we're all frustrated. We're all in dire need as far as of help and everything. But at the end of the day, the more that we're able to collaborate and communicate, the better it's going to be. An example of that is that Damian Callis, as far as that is part of the Cajun Navy, those guys are doing great things right now. A lot of people I know have pushed back as far as on the Cajun Navy because of the issues with boats and stuff not being able to get where they need it. But, Damian and I have had a chance to meet as far as this morning, discuss. We've now combined our efforts. So the tech team that we have working currently out of San Francisco and also our tech teams that are working out of New Orleans have had an opportunity to basically, merge with their tech people that are working from the Cajun Navy. And not only that, we're now moving in positions to, since there's no need for boat or water support, that we're able to launch a new program that will be called the Cajun Army, where we need foot soldiers, we need volunteers in the communities to get these resources to these shelters and things. Another thing is that, currently due to policies and procedures for privacy, the Red Cross operates off of a pen and paper type system. There's not enough people and the system's not quick enough to take care of the needs that are going into these shelters. So this policy and procedure needs to be updated to new technology. I know I've had a number of people reference as far as to the fact that, Katrina and everything. Just from a personal standpoint, Katrina was not a good bar to be marking ourselves by. We have the technology now. That was 2006. We were 10 years later in life. We have the technology now that we are able to really make some strides as far as with, digital applications. You walk into an AT&T store, there's a person that greets you at the door. They have a tablet in hand. They look up your information. They input your information, and it's very seamless. These types of systems are what we need for the Red Cross and what we need for the shelters, to make it more efficient for family members to reconnect with their people, for people that are in need of medical support, infants that are in need of, formula, to be able to connect. And with this map that we've created, those individuals can get that resource, and they can get it rather quickly. But again, that communication level needs to be there. I just recently left the Denham Springs area. I went directly to Denham Springs main headquarters and main compound. Unfortunately, at the moment, they weren't able to give me a deciding factor of what they needed other than just water and ice. I understand water and ice and food as necessities, but, you know, at this point, we are looking at grander schemes. You know, we have access as far as for security people to move in to the areas to help protect these, you know, neighborhoods that potentially would be looted. Unfortunately, there is that 10% of people that are not good people that will take advantage of this system. But we can get ahead of that, just like we could have gotten ahead of the communities that are now seeing floods. But without communication, everybody's working in silos. So this is my outcry as far as to you as the Baton Rouge community, you as a nation. You know, Baton Rouge and surrounding areas need your support. Again, you know, we are wanting and willing and able to communicate, collaborate, and work with anybody that's out there that can offer a service. You know, please reach out to the Louisiana Flood Rescue August 24th, 2016 group as far as on Facebook. We're in the process right now of streamlining that to where we can go live with text-abled services where you guys can actually connect and communicate via simple text message, and also to have a central location website for you guys to be able to access to find your families, communicate, and things like that. Again, you know, this is my last, you know, ask and my last resort as far as just, unfortunately, I've been forced and kind of pushed to this point where, you know, I haven't been able to be connected with the right people. So please, as a community, as a nation, help me connect with the people, help my team connect with the people and the volunteers that we have. We are many, many, many more than the already overly taxed, you know, law enforcement and government agencies. We are here to help. So again, ACE, as far as from the Louisiana Flood Rescue Group, my company is Southbound Design. As I mentioned, I don't have any formal training in this. This is simply a volunteer effort. You know, a lot of us are working off of basically no funding. So we need efforts and things like that. So I'm currently reporting from the area as far as where the backpacker is located. These guys have been more than helpful as far as letting me, you know, come here, use Wi-Fi, get access, and get the resources I need to be able to connect with other people because of the limitation of Wi-Fi. So again, thank you, everybody that, you know, that is being involved, that you're doing stuff. Everybody, you guys are all amazing. Volunteers are killing it right now. Everybody behind the scenes, you know, as far as from volunteer, non-government agency, you guys are amazingly, you know, supportive, and you are making things happen. You know, continue to do that. I will continue to update you guys with posts. Also refer to the Cajun Navy and potentially the Cajun Army page or groups that will go live here shortly, and also the Louisiana Flood Rescue Group. You know, help us organize. Thank you all. I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed day, and I hope your family.
All right, so that was reporting from Anthony Ace Cox. He is one of the coordinators of the Louisiana Flood Rescue Group. Now looking, I see that it has over 30,000 members on Facebook, and it has been going since the flood began, with people going to that group and, you know, helping people connect to people who might be lost and are still needing rescues. So, you know, as you heard him speak, there's been some difficulties connecting, perhaps, the efforts of the volunteers with the governmental agencies that are trying to help. So hopefully in the days to come, that will change. But, it, you know, it is really striking to me, as he was sort of mentioning, the difference between Hurricane Katrina and now in terms of the technology that's available and the number of people who are on Facebook and on these social networks and how they can be utilized to help people survive and thrive after these kinds of natural disasters. So I do hope we can continue to utilize those resources in a way that's helpful for the people in our community. Next up, we're going to hear this report from a young man who has been experiencing the flood. And his name on YouTube is Dupree Trickshots. But this is his report as a young person experiencing the flood.
And this video is going to be a little bit different. It is not about pool. Even though I'm sitting on my pool table with my pool hat on, nothing to do with pool. So, you know, Louisiana has been threatened with flooding over the past couple days. And there's two links I've set up. And one is to help my friend Tate Eisworth and his family. Their house is basically underwater. water's up to their ceiling, it's almost in their attic. And they have lost many of their possessions, their car has flooded, and their whole house is most likely going to be ruined. And the other link is to help my dad's agents who work in his real estate office who've lost their houses. There's about 10 people whose houses are just gone. And many of the agents who are listing houses to make their living, those houses are gone too. I'm going to play a few clips for you that I recorded, show you how bad it really is. This first clip you're about to see is the street. You walk down my street, and this is what you see.
And what we're looking at here is water about 2 feet up from the ground. And this is just down the street from his house.
That was actually a rescue point for people. The boat would leave, go pick people up, and come back. There are 3 or 4 boats at a time. Every time a boat would come in, a boat would go out. And one person actually set out to find their grandparents. And they went out and they found them. And they were just in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of water. Here's the video of it. That was people being reunited with their grandparents who were stranded out in the middle of nowhere. Well, they were somewhere, just that turned into nowhere. This next picture is a picture of Tate Isworth's neighborhood. Like, right as they left their house. Woke up in the middle of the night to find water at their doorstep. They looked outside and it was crazy. Called 911, they came and rescued him on a boat. Here's a picture of their neighborhood.
All you can see is the tops of trees. Really no house in sight.
Since that picture is taken, the water has doubled, more than doubled, up to their attic. Yeah, so those are their situations. They are extremely tough situations. They've lost everything they own. The cars, houses, furniture. I really appreciate everything that you guys can do. So thank you, and thank you.
So that was a report by Dupree Trickshots, also on YouTube, speaking about his experience, a young man in the home surrounding in his neighborhood and his friends and loved ones. Finally for you in this hour, we're going to see a video from Steve Spell II. He is recorded a video of a family struggling to save some of the cats and animals. Of course, everyone knows in this area how much animals do struggle in times like these. Sherry sort of spoke about it with a man who rescued an alligator that was in the waters. But there's many other animals out there that really struggle during these times. And, of course, there's a lot of brave people who work to, help them. So here is a video made by someone who was struggling to save some cats.
He's stranded on the fence. If I can get him in the boat with us, Hannah. If I can get him in the boat with us. He's cold. He's cold. He's shivering. Let me think.
He gets on the roof where he
lives. Well, he's got to get to higher ground, Hannah.
Up there. Now, what about this one? Because this one's stranded.
Okay, this is what we're going to do with him. We're going to feed him and shelter him in place. Because there's a current out here, okay? We're surrounded by current. This is rapidly flowing water. We're in a small boat. I cannot afford for a wildcat to get in this boat and start cutting you and scratching you. We don't have medication. We don't have access to doctors. So with him being up there, we're going to shelter him in place. We got the cat food. We'll put food and water up there on the roof. Now, and he'll be fine. He's on high ground. This cat here, that cat can't stay there on top of that ladder. We've got to go in there and get him some kind of way. I'll figure that out.
This is a video by Steve Spell II. That was him with his daughter trying to rescue some cats in his neighborhood. The water was all the way up to the roof at that point.
I want to give you guys an update. I'm trying to get back to my mama's house, and the water has come up. It's come up just as we expected, if you can ever expect this. Here's my situation.
You know it's bad. You know it's going to be bad when the high ground is underwater.
And then when I get to a stronger connection closer to my mama's house in the back, I'll go back live. But the shock of this is really, I'm having to tippy-toe to make it back there. Because you see my situation, if the water gets inside this wetsuit, I could very easily drown out here. But I made it through what I presume to be the deepest part. And our little neighborhood is gone. There is a small boat. I have a P-row canoe where I'm going. I'm going to get in that. I got a battery in there. I got an inverter. Keep my phone charged up, and I'm going to bring you as much of this as I can. Just take a look. I'm going to get a panoramic shot here.
He's showing water all the way up to the windows, about 3 feet from the roof in many areas. The water is itself up to his chest as he's standing there doing the panoramic view.
This is what you call the long road home, folks.
This is in the Tickfaw River, Blood River area of his neighborhood. Steve Spell II giving us this report.
Springfield, Louisiana, in case anybody's wondering. This is the neighborhood called Warsaw Marina.
I'm trying to stay as alert as I can. I do have my machete here. Wow. Words can't even describe this.
So that is going to end up our hour of citizen reporting of this incredible devastation Louisiana is going through. There's really so much out there. Of course, if you want to help, there's a lot of ways to help. Donations are being accepted throughout the city in many locations in New Orleans, as well as Baton Rouge. And I do encourage you to check out the Facebook group that we heard from earlier, Louisiana Flood Rescue and or the Cajun Navy. Both of those Facebook groups are very active and will give you the most up-to-date information about what people need, although I have heard repeatedly that there has been too many donations of clothing. Clothing is no longer needed, but bedding, cleaning supplies, food, and water are all very needed. And so that's one way to start. And of course, we're going to be in this for the long haul. There's so much recovery that needs to happen between now and whenever these communities can start to be restored. And in that time, I do encourage you to stay up to date and check out all the amazing coverage that your fellow citizens are putting out there, making themselves vulnerable and letting the people know what they're experiencing. It's actually quite beautiful. About the upcoming event, Another Gulf is Possible, which seems even more pertinent now as we're facing into another natural disaster in our area. This is a week of action from August 20th to August 24th, and I'm sure we'll cover it more, but that's starting on this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. There's going to be a march from Lafayette Square to Jackson Square, and this is the idea of the march. We share a deep, abiding, unwavering belief that another Gulf is possible. We, the people of the Gulf South and the Global South, stand united and firm. We need a just transition for the sake of the life and livelihoods of our communities, our cultures, and our ecosystems. We will no longer stand to be a sacrifice zone for this country. We demand justice and equity. We, the people of the Gulf of Mexico region, will declare independence from the archaic fossil fuel economy and the resulting denials of justice across our lands, waters, and our communities on August 20th. 4 days after, on August 24th, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and the Department of the Interior will hold a lease sale in New Orleans, Louisiana, of over 20 million acres of our Gulf of Mexico to the fossil fuel industry. The Gulf of Mexico region is now home to over 40 environmental justice communities and more than 120 Superfund sites. While our workers remain idle and jobless, 27,000 abandoned leaking oil wells and wells and aging structures contaminate our waters and lands. And we lose a football field, an hour of our wetlands, an important hurricane buffer to our communities. Meanwhile, as oil execs and companies continue to profit from the use of our resources, we have some of the highest poverty and cancer rates in the nation. Indigenous, migrant, communities of color, and low-wealth populations in the Gulf have been denied recognition of their human and civil rights to health, land, water, culture, and representation. Reckless and sold-out politicians and agency have failed to lead our Gulf states to the basin of justice for the people and have proven inadequate to tackle the true harms of climate change. Please make plans to join us as we, the people of the Gulf, declare our non-acceptance of any and all attempts to further these injustices on our lands and in our waters. This includes rejecting the administration's new five-year plan that would jeopardize an additional 43 million acres of the Gulf of Mexico and the Arctic to big oil. We call for a just transition of all coastal communities now. So that is a march that is going to be taking place on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. starting in Lafayette Square. And that is going to be, I think, even more pertinent given the situation that is unfolding in Louisiana right now. So I wanted to let you guys know about that.